Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9. And this is The Fool. Hello, everyone. We are back into our fifth season now of the Football Podcast. If you've heard our trailer, which you may or may not have because we may not have published it, we're going to expand for the 9642 podcast so that we cover as many sports as we can while it's going on. We are definitely going to focus on the EPL, and obviously that's why the first podcast of the season is about the previous EPL season, and football in general, not just the EPL, of course.
Of course.
So Champions League, Bayern Munich, a squad that cost 90 million, I heard, altogether, win the Champions League.
Yeah.
How awesome was that?
Too awesome.
All right. Sure, their stranglehold in their, in the Bundesliga is so complete, like no team can come close to them. So that does take a bit of shine off, but that was pretty much every, so I think some of us were hoping RB Leipzig or maybe even Manchester City could, you know, be a new champion. Was not to be. And look, deserved champions. Bayern were the best team in Europe this season.
Oh, easy. By miles. I mean, was it 8-1 against Barcelona?
Just yep.
Crazy stuff. They were just street to hit everybody else.
Yeah, and that would lead to our earth-shattering going on that are happening in football now. But
yeah. That
will be in our next podcast, so be sure to catch that. We're going to look at the season that just happened. Like, wow, COVID has basically changed everything. I think everybody was pretty certain that the top four was going to be Liverpool, City, Leicester, and probably Chelsea.
Yeah, we were still, before COVID, we were sitting pretty good.
Or maybe Manchester United, because they were surging up with Bruno Fernandes and doing well.
That was going to be the interesting bit, right?
It
was
going to be if they could get Pogba back in time, whether they would gel. The thing is, COVID, let's go by team. I think COVID didn't really slow Liverpool down. The only thing was, if the season was going to be cancelled, they would not have won anything.
Which would have been funny. Just in general, but they were obviously deserved winners. It would have been very harsh on them, but as we've discussed in private before, it would have been, they couldn't give it to Liverpool if they'd cancelled the season, because it wouldn't have worked further down the tables, like relegation, Championship, League 1, League 2, there was actual races going on down there, so it would have been hard to be like, oh yeah, no, Liverpool wins, but all you others were doing something different. But in the end, they got it all back together, so Liverpool became deserved winners.
Yeah, I think asterisks are bullshit in this situation. I think they were clearly the best team and won.
I mean, there's a little bit of asterisks, but they got the full season out. I don't think
City would have caught them.
Oh, well, City would never have caught them. I don't think, in terms of that top, that the break made any difference whatsoever. I think the form of probably the top four that ended top four probably didn't get changed too much by it. I think it's when you get to Leicester, which I'm sure we're getting to soon, that's where the break actually gave a detriment to their chances. Although they were having injury issues before COVID, so maybe they would have fallen away anyway, by the drain of injuries.
The drain of injuries could have played a role, you're right. And so maybe, but I don't think, like I said, Liverpool didn't, I don't think, deserve an asterisk. They had a really big lead.
Oh, yeah.
And City were also having injuries. Like, if their team had people coming back, I would be thinking differently. Perhaps if City actually had a real bad run of injuries, Chelsea or United might have even caught up with them.
Yeah.
Both our teams were having people return back from injury.
Yeah. But yeah, really, for Liverpool not to have come first and City not to come second, there was going to have to be massive, earth-shattering, unlucky breaks for both of them. As you say, a whole host of injuries for City, because it's not like just one or two injuries in City, even for key men, would have made much dent into their progress. It'd have to be like four or five people going down. Season-ending injuries sort of things, which is extremely unlikely. And the same with Liverpool, right? They would have had, even back in March, they basically had to win nothing more for the last 2 months of the season to not have won it, basically. They're only a few games out, so.
Then we had Leicester, who were third then, and obviously Manchester United finished third. I think we can cover both teams because we that tells you exactly where COVID started impacting the positions.
Yeah, exactly. As I say,
Manchester United got everybody come back and they managed to train enough that Pogba and Bruno Fernandes started gelling really well. And they played really well after coming back from COVID. Unfortunately, they couldn't win a trophy, but the most disappointed team in the Premiership is probably Leicester. Because I think, to be fair, I think COVID or no COVID, Leicester were losing form. And if it wasn't United, then Chelsea would have come third ahead of them.
Yeah, as I said, it was injuries with Leicester. Like, hitting up into the match, they had, some of it was they had a couple of key injuries. And they're starting to lose form, lose their way. And it looked like COVID was actually going to happen now. Which means everybody got back over their injuries, got back into training, ready to go. They couldn't get over the form issues. With the big break, it was quite clearly
Vardy aside.
Yeah, yeah, Vardy aside. Always Vardy aside. I mean, that guy. He's the continuously just pulls Leicester through everything. But they fell apart after the break, and it was clearly just beginning season. They'd start again, and it just didn't work from this part season, for lack of a better term of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But as I say, that may have happened anyway. They were having injuries, but say United, Chelsea, well, they had the injuries, their players coming back, and they have taken a few more things. It may have been a bit closer. I mean, it was a last weekend thing anyway. Possibly could have ended up the same. It just might have been, a little bit more dramatic, like needing, Chelsea or Man United needing particular scores, and having to win by two or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. But I think United benefited the most of all the teams because they clearly picked the highest. From COVID. But the second most was Super Frank and Chelsea, who I think had a really good first season. Like, to me, I think Frank was my manager of the season.
There was issues starting out. I mean, it was a bit of a rocky start to the season, but, definitely pulled it together. It had a little bit of classic Chelsea up and down this here and there, and to say the break was actually really good. Because getting in February was starting to look a bit rocky in advance, and then the break came and we came back not super strong but stronger than what we were. So there's still a couple of key losses that were a bit disappointing in the return, which meant that our hold on third disappeared. We started off the restart really good and really cemented in third, and then we lost, I think it was Crystal Palace, Newcastle, one of them. Not Newcastle, that was the last. But it's been Crystal Palace, something like that. Brought both you and Leicester back into contention a lot more.
Yeah.
But you say overall, it was a good season, I think, for Chelsea, especially having not had the best to transfer market, given that the last year, the summer market, they were closed out of pretty much. Having to find a manager and all the rest. And it, being young, the youngsters were the ones coming through mostly. But, like, Cammy Abraham, amazing. Mason Mount, even more amazing. So, good working by Super Frank, as you say.
Yeah, yeah. I think Mason Mount, Tammy Abrahams, and Mason Greenwood of Manchester United were like the most promising young players. Like new young players.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Other players who are young that did well are all known quantities, Everybody knows Trent Alexander-Arnold is awesome. Like, we don't need to.
That's a known thing.
So I'm not snubbing other people. I'm just saying of the new people that I hadn't seen before. I'm sure Tammy Abrams may have made, did he make like appearances in the Premier League before?
I think he had a couple of appearances previously, but this was a big thing. Like, clearly took the opportunity. He given the opportunity, took it both hands and was like, no, this, I am a Premier League striker and I am awesome. And, he was.
Please.
I mean, had the second half of the season started to fall away, and I think he only scored one goal in the restart. I think he'd only scored one or two since January or something like that. So, not the best ending, but he was still by far and away one of the better Chelsea players. So
And Manchester United also had a lot of good young players play this season. I hope they can sign most of them. Tahith Chong, I thought, was pretty good. I thought Torreira did pretty well.
Yeah.
As well. I think obviously Daniel James didn't have as good a season as we were hoping. He started off okay. Scott McTominay just looks better. So it's a good young team. But I don't think they're anywhere near good enough to compete against City or Liverpool next season. They have United are fighting for third. Well, unless they get Sancho.
Yeah. But given the form of the last two seasons, I don't think there's many teams that can fight with Liverpool and City at the moment, I think.
Yeah, I...
They've been far other... away the best teams for like the last 2 years at least.
Yeah, and so Manchester United also had Brandon Williams, who I thought played really well at left back, covering for Luke Shaw when he got injured. That's the issue. Like, United really have defensive issues. Like, a centre back, a good centre back is needed, but if they could get a versatile defender, someone who can cover a lot of positions, that would also be good.
Yeah, yeah, that would be good. That's a bit wasted, but yeah. I think Chelsea's the same. Like, we had good centre back, but they were both, they were all young.
Yeah.
We, you know, a bit of age in the, on the full back positions, but from, like, it's for Quetta, and he's really awesome, but starting to get old now, and fullbacks need to run a bit. So,
yeah.
Did get shown up occasionally with younger, faster wingers, but
yeah.
And then at some point, Frank did revert back to the three centre halves and the wing back, and that's when Aspilicueta, you know, folded in to a centre back role, which I think he does reasonably well.
Yeah.
So it loses some of his attacking flair and some of his ability to drive up the flank. But,
yeah, but his positional sense is really good, so he's better off playing in that spot now, in this stage of his career.
Yeah, and maybe that's an ongoing thing. Gets moved in, he moves himself in the centre defence, and he beats the old head in the middle of the defence, and keeps the young guys going.
But I'm... I think, though, Manchester United... David De Gea didn't have a good season, so... If he's under the pump, I think if he doesn't have a good start to the season, like if United lose their first couple of games because of errors through him, you might see Dean Henderson start. And he had a good season for Sheffield United last season. I think it's appropriate now to talk about Sheffield United. I think they finished under Leicester, but I think that they performed really well. They're just outside the Europa spots.
Yeah.
But that's probably good for them, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They don't have to have any strain on their squads, playing times, travel expenses. I mean, they miss out on revenue from it, and exposure. You know, give them a second season to make sure that they cement themselves in the Premier League, show that they're not one-hit wonder. There's nothing saying they're not going to be UEFA Cup material this year or next year.
Yeah, I think if they can finish above 10 for the next 3 years, that'd be a really good performance. Now, we should probably talk about the teams that got relegated. Most importantly, Bournemouth. I think Eddie Howe did as well as he could, but at some point, I think it's hard to say because he was still good last season, and I don't know how you could have avoided what happened. And I can understand why they stayed with him and they didn't fire him when he had to resign.
Yeah,
because he's done everything for Bournemouth. They'd be nothing without him.
No.
But being relegated now, like, I don't see them coming back up anytime soon.
Yeah, I think it will be a bit hard for them. I mean, it's possible, but I think you're right. They'll be down in the championship for a while.
They'll be in a relegation dogfight next season in the championship, I'm sure.
Yeah, is that bad? I was thought that.
I mean, their stadium holds 5,000 people.
You make a good point.
And they're not getting that TV money anymore.
Yeah, exactly. You make a good point. I've forgotten their stadium was so ridiculously small.
Yes. I feel bad, obviously. The other two, like Watford were also a team, and I think just the ownership, there's just too much instability. Changed managers so many times last season, I just lost count.
Who knows? Yeah.
I mean, I would rather Aston Villa had gotten relegated instead of Bournemouth, but, you know. Because it's not like Villa were that much better.
Apparently 1 point better. Okay.
Yeah, but Norwich City, at least they kept playing the way they played. Like, they attacked. I don't think they expected to get promoted last season anyway, so they're treating this as a cash bonus to do improvements and become really good at in the championship level and then get promoted again.
Yeah. I mean, I give them full credit. They stuck to their way and it was either going to work or it wasn't. You know, a couple of seasons ago, you know, getting promoted was a bit more of a wall, but that worked a little bit better than we really wanted it to. Take the money and keep playing our way. We won't change. I think they didn't do a massive buyout and kept most of the players from the championship.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was always going to be a struggle, but say they played attacking football and they continued to play attacking football, and it was pretty to watch. I mean, yeah, you could watch any of their games and be like, this is actually pretty good football to watch. They're just getting pummeled, which is, what they're doing is fine.
What's crazy is how some of these things, how close some of these things were. Because at one point, Wolves were a genuine threat to finish in the Europa League spots, maybe even as high as fifth.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think they were ever really going to compete for a Champions League spot because Chelsea were too good, or later on United. But Wolves, I think, could have easily have finished ahead of Leicester because their form was so bad. And Spurs were so bad, but after getting Mourinho, they did just enough to qualify for the Europa League.
Good old Jose Mourinho. Very much, yep. Jose did.
Like, if Jose Mourinho managed to get Spurs to win the Premiership next season, like, yeah, we'll just have to stop arguing about how good a manager he is. Not that I ever thought he wasn't a good manager.
Yeah. It would just continue to show that he does have a trend, right? Takes over. First season, pretty good. Second season, win. Third season, half the bus.
Pretty much. And, like,
I don't know if last season counts as a full first season. Maybe this season is his first season.
We'll find out. And then, rounding out the top 10 was Burnley, who also started off pretty good, but I think playing in the Europa League while being in the Premier League was a bit too much strain on that squad, but they had a decent season. They never threatened to be relegated, I think, and they went as far in the Europa League as they could.
Yeah. No, they did really well. St. Chris Wood scored, 13, 14 goals, all right?
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, that's a good reason, well, most of the reasons why Burnley was where they are. But, I mean, they've got a decent squad. So, yeah, it's enough to hold up everything
while
else.
Yeah, while you're still in the Premier League, you can attract a decent kind of player.
Exactly. So, yeah.
And I wouldn't be surprised if it wasn't, like, COVID probably did impact Burnley quite a bit. Going forward, it's not that we're going to talk about it in this podcast. It's going to impact a lot more next season.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, as much as it impacted last season, it's going to impact next season even more. That's how crazy. But we'll talk more about that.
Yeah, next one. But you're right, it's going to impact more, but it's going to impact the whole season.
Mm.
So I guess I don't want to talk about too much, but last season it was more the shake-up that was the impactful. How do you deal with, you know, a disruption mid-season? Well, the coming season is going to be how do you deal with the whole thing all the time and the uncertainty and all the rest.
That's what we're going to talk about in the next podcast. Before we finish off, I think it's appropriate to talk about the three promoted teams. Leeds United, Fulham, West Bromwich Albion. All clubs who could all stay up.
Definitely.
And all three could be relegated.
Yeah.
Ironically, I think Leeds are the most vulnerable, even though they won the championship.
They won it quite well, didn't they?
Yes, but I think in the Premier League, they don't have the funding and the structures.
No.
You know what I mean? This is their first season in the Premier League. I mean, they have a really good manager.
Yeah.
And that might get them through in the, but in the end, like, if they get an injury or something like that, it's going to be very difficult.
I think the telling thing is the fact that it's been ages since Leeds United has been in the Premier League, in the top five.
Yeah.
As you say, there's a different beat. The other teams have been more recent, so they know what it's like now. And I think that's going to be a telling difference.
Yeah.
That experience of everybody else that's going to be in the relegation battle. I think what's going to make the biggest impact for Leeds will be how they start. If they can start positively, get some wins, get momentum, different ballgame, then get comfortable mid-table early on, it might be okay. But if they're keeping in that dogfight the whole season long, I don't see them being able to pull it through.
Yeah.
Albeit that they had such an awesome season last year. I mean, it shows that it doesn't mean a lot. Because they had an awesome season the year before. Newcastle did it, but they've been up and more recently.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see with Leeds, but it could be interesting. I think it's just going to go one or two ways. Either their form and their ability that they've shown, because they were quite a good, solid championship side, and they were doing quite well last season. Like, it wasn't Norwich did it by being a super championship side. If I felt like Leeds had been a bit more of a solid football team. So name, yeah, you know, it's insane. There's an awesome manager. The backroom stuff seems pretty tight, which always helps in the Premier League. So good signings, good transfer, good start, different story. But yeah, I just feel if they're dragged into the dogfight, if they don't have the momentum with it, it just may not, they may not just get themselves out of it.
Yeah. And even the teams like Sheffield United, who had a good season, can get second season syndrome.
Yeah, exactly.
Next season. Nobody can rest on their laurels. And no. Aston Villa should also feel the same, especially if they lose good players.
Yeah.
But
Newcastle as well. Newcastle, you know, they did reasonably well last year, but can they keep it up? We just talked about Burnley, like 10th, but another team that, once again, a few bad results, things not going the way, because it's going to be a super tight relegation battle. It's going to be, you know, 6, 7, 8 teams that are all going to be probably fairly similar in terms of form and points wise, at least through, you know, the majority of the season. Doesn't take a lot to slip up and find yourself behind the eight ball. There's a couple of losses among the, you know, you lose among those teams that are in that battle. Those are bad points, right? Lost.
Yeah.
You've got to win against a team you're not expected to win against. So, you know.
Exactly.
But that's also, yeah, a little bit straying into future podcasts.
Future podcast. But yeah, well, we hope you enjoyed our preview of previous season. We hope to catch you in our next podcast.
Catch you next time.